You're listening to the Ideal Business Show with Pat Rigsby. This is the place where fitness entrepreneurs come to learn how to earn more income, have more impact, and enjoy more freedom. Now, here's your host, Pat Rigsby.
Pat Rigsby here again with another episode of the Ideal Business Show. And today, my special guest is Linda Alexander, who is a good friend who happens to be part of our Ideal Business Academy group. Linda owns Oxygen and Iron Personal Training in Midlothian. Is that right?
That is correct.
Aha, I didn't screw it up. Virginia, so kind of near Richmond, Virginia, I think. And she's got some questions for us today. She's got a great boutique style studio, has a pretty darn new book. I guess we can't say it's just brand new now. It's been, you know, a couple months here that we've been out and about with it. A book you want to get some more mileage out of and maybe a few other fun things. So welcome, Linda.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on and been with you for a long time. So this is great to have you on a one-on-one coaching call. Thank you.
Well, this should be fun. And man, I one-on-one with a bunch of people listening in. So the pressure's on me, right?
Right.
So give the listeners a little bit more of your kind of business backstory here. That way they've got a little bit of context for what we're going to get into.
Okay. I started like most of us in a big box gym, and I was training and teaching tennis, and then kind of moved around different countries and then moved to Richmond, Virginia, where I continued teaching tennis and then training. And then early 2008, I decided to open up my own studio, which I did. Had a business partner 5 years into the business. We dissolved that. But during that time, my business partner was more the office end and I was more the operational end. And so when I took it on myself, I decided I needed to know how to run the business and got into a mastermind group, which was great, but then found that it really wasn't working for me. It wasn't a good fit. And I'd been getting your emails forever and just the things that you have been saying was resonating with me. So I decided to drop the other one and gave you a call and ended up in IBA. And since being in the IBA, I can say that I've probably doubled my business. But more importantly, I'm running my business like a business. And more importantly, after that, it's given me a lot more confidence, not only in the business or inside my studio, but outside of the studio as well.
Well, that is awesome. And it, you know, it's certainly been evident within the IBA that you have really grown and gotten more confident. And heck, you're like a superstar author and stuff. So, and we've yet to pull me into trying to make me competent at tennis. So that's something to shoot for later on, right?
Okay, perfect.
So let's get into it. You know, we'll cover a couple questions during the course of the podcast. So where do you feel like you'd like some help?
Well, like you alluded, I wrote a book in August 2017 and was published in December. I did the usual book signings, and at the beginning it was really great. In fact, it even gave me exposure to do an article in a local publication. But after that, it's kind of what's the next step for really leveraging my book. I kind of want to use it to get obviously more people into the studio, but also to be known as the expert in the Richmond area. And then also to help kind of launch an online business, since I have 3 daughters that do not live in my area and I would like to travel and see them more. So it's kind of my next step.
So when you say expert in the Richmond area, aside from getting people in the studio and online training, what's the win for you there?
I guess that would help also with the online business, but definitely just getting more people into the studio and helping more women kind of creating their healthier lifestyle.
Okay. So, you know, the book Can you describe a little bit about the book to the listeners? Obviously, I'm pretty familiar with it, but I think it might help as we kind of dig in and give a little more context here.
Sure. Basically, it's a guide for busy women to help them create a healthier lifestyle through mindset, movement, and supportive nutrition. So what I've found with most of the women that I work with is that they can go to a gym or a big box gym and they can get their exercise and they can kind of get their nutrition, but it's not really pulling their whole lifestyle together. So what we're trying to do is help them create that healthy lifestyle by giving them little tips on how to stress release, sleep, nutrition, and exercise as well. So just kind of giving them a more whole view of how to live a healthier lifestyle.
So who would be the ideal target audience for the book, for the studio, for the online training, online coaching side of things? If you were going to narrow it down beyond just women in general,
I would probably say women that are closer to having kids that are in high school, college age, getting towards that empty nester where they have more time on their hands. They don't have to spend too much time driving their kids around, but they can now actually focus on themselves.
Okay. See, I think that alone helps a great deal, right? Because I think that sometimes we cast such a big net. It's kind of like when, you know, as you well know, being friends with my wife, Holly, you know, when she launched her Fitness for Mom product, you know, the needs and interests and focuses of a mom of a newborn are clearly different than those of a mom of an elementary school age child versus that of a mom of a college age child. So
exactly. Yes.
So I think narrowing that really, really helps a great deal. So how can you use the book to really kind of grow your platform both locally and beyond? So the first thing that I would do is think in terms of the book being a tool that can be used offline and online. Let's segment those. We'll start with offline. Offline, the book can certainly be used to get your foot in the door a number of places. So if you think about who already serves the audience that I want to reach, I mean, we could go down the list from salons or spas or clothing stores to, you know, different physicians, to different affinity or social groups, to even homeowners associations or schools where you can reach the PTA or something of that sort. So there are no shortage of people who are already connecting directly with the people that you want to connect with. Part of your ability with the book would be to use that book as a tool to better connect with those groups. So getting the book in the hands of the influencer in those areas is a pretty good start. So how could that work in practicality? Well, getting the book, like let's say that you have a client in the studio who goes to a particular salon and you want to connect with the owner of the salon. Well, you get an introduction from the client, you send a personal note and a copy of the book and see if there's anything that you can do to add value to the other, you know, the other customers of the salon. And this happens kind of in the kind of opposite sense. I know on my end, it's not uncommon for somebody to introduce me to somebody else, and that person sends me a book is kind of an icebreaker to potentially collaborate or see if we can have a mutually beneficial relationship down the road. So I think that's an easy starting point. Using the book is a lever to get you in the door with any of these groups. And you can kind of lead the dance, if you will, and say, hey, here are a few different ways that I thought that I might be able to be of some help, that I might be able to contribute. But, you know, you're leading with a gift. So if somebody leads with a gift, there's usually going to be a more receptive person on the other side, almost feeling like there has to be a little bit of reciprocity because they've gotten a gift. But, you know, we're in such a time of people coming in and asking and asking and asking that if you're leading with kind of the giving hand, you're already a little bit different than the other people tugging at people's attention or money or audience. So that would be the first place I would start. I would make kind of a preliminary list of or groups that you want to connect with and see how you can get your foot in the door in a warm way. So who do you know that knows somebody that's an influencer there? Give that person a book and present a couple different ways that you think you might be able to help, you know, or add value. It might be speaking to their group. It may be doing a charity fundraiser for their organization, like if it's a nonprofit type of organization, a charity fundraiser using your studio as a tool. It might be gifting a digital copy of the book to all of their customers or patients. So there are any number of things that you potentially could do. And, you know, so you don't want to necessarily leave it entirely open-ended. They may come back with something completely different, but you at least kind of want to prime the pump as far as ideas go. So before we kind of shift gears at all, does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I have been kind of thinking more in terms of just getting people in here. I like that idea of, you know, getting a list of influencers and especially the gifting the digital to all their customers. I actually feel very embarrassed right now that I'm training a salon owner right now. So she's going to be the first person on my list that I go to and ask about this. So,
well, and so considering, you know, what you just said there, training a salon owner, if you think about what we're trying to do when we want to generate referrals, I mean, knowing your business a little bit, you already have a great community of people who are probably a pretty good fit for who you want to work with. And you just like more of them. So, you know, a lot of times when we think of referral generation, we think of, well, how can I compensate this person to essentially go out and be my commission sales rep and bring somebody in? When the way referrals should work is, okay, how can I get this person to introduce me to the other people in their lives in a positive way? And you could easily have all your clients gift digital copies of the book to their friends. And if you want to find a way to incentivize it, find a women's focused charity or, you know, a charity that the women in your facility would certainly align with and want to support and say, look, for every download that we get of the book, you know, I'll donate a dollar or, you know, $1.50 or whatever to a particular charity. And, you know, I mean, now you're getting them to share this at no risk of their own for a good cause. So they're incentivized and it's a great first impression and they get to feel like they're doing good work. They get to feel like, hey, I'm supporting a great cause and I'm not really having to do a lot of the heavy lifting to do it. So I think that's another way you can leverage the people that are already exposed to what you do, who already believe in you and the work you're doing. I mean, now you're just basically giving them an opportunity to put this book in other people's hands and they're incentivized to do it for a really good cause.
Perfect. That sounds good.
So those two would be kind of the areas that I would start with in a very local way. Now, if I want to build kind of an audience outside of your local market, I would go as probably as narrow as I can go in targeting. You know, try to find as narrow a fit for a target market from age to making sure that they're a mom of, you know, like maybe you're targeting only moms of college age students through Facebook ads or something at a certain age and a certain, if there's any other criteria that really fit, be it, you know, a certain income level. But I want to go as narrow as you can go and then give the book away as your lead magnet. And, you know, and you may just start out by doing this. Like a lot of people don't think in terms of advertising mainstream kind of info products or anything on a really broad scale. I mean, you might just do it for moms who fit that criteria in Virginia as a whole, just so you're not casting too wide a net. But if you're trying to build an audience outside of the Richmond area to do a little bit of online training with, that would probably be how I would get started. I would be still giving away the book that positions you as an expert, that aligns with what their interests are, that's probably a pretty good tool to pre-sell them on what you have to offer, how you could help. And then whether you're marketing to your existing list, which I know you have an existing list of what, probably approaching 1,000 people at this point.
Yes. Yeah.
So you've got an existing list. The stuff that we've talked about locally will help you grow that list. I think before you even start to market outside of the Richmond area, you need to just come up with, you know, a simple sales page talking about offering online coaching, and then be willing to get on the phone and do a free success session with people where you'll talk to them about kind of where they are, where they want to go, give them something of a basic roadmap, and then offer your services as a coach and providing some accountability. And I think that you could go out and start to offer online on a very limited scale just to the audience you have, that, you know, 1,000-ish people, and you'd probably get 3, 4, 5 takers, because not everybody wants to come in the gym on a regular basis. Not everybody feels like their schedule allows for them, but that doesn't mean they wouldn't like to have coaching and support. And then use that as kind of almost like your pilot group or focus group to kind of iron out the kinks in the type of service you want to deliver, and then go and expand the advertising using the book as a lead magnet. And you can kind of split test and say, do I want to do free plus shipping with the hard copy of the book, or do I just want to do a digital copy of the book, and see which one works better. The offer on the back end is to get them on the phone and talk to them about their goals, what they feel like needs to happen in their life to achieve them, and how you can help.
That sounds good.
Man, that
exactly
was
what I know, right?
Okay. So are there any gaps I didn't really touch on when it comes to the book specifically that you wanted to address?
I think, you know, you're just making me think outside the box. I mean, I'm too stuck on, oh, I'm just going to do a book signing, or I'm, you know, just going to use it as a tool for our 28-day challenge. So, you know, making it available to more people and get past my biggest struggle with giving it away has been more the logistics as far as ClickFunnels or something like that is concerned. And so I just kind of put it off and then don't do anything. So that's a whole nother story. But I think I've figured that part out too. And now refocusing on back on what are good strategies for me right now. So I think you've done that. So I think that's great.
Well, I think that what the book is doing is basically just getting somebody to raise their hand and say, yeah, I'm kind of interested. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're ready to do anything yet, but they're not going to download the book. They're not going to indicate an interest in the book if the topic isn't at least interesting to them. Right. And then your job is just to follow up with a newsletter, or drive people to the Facebook Live that you do or whatever, and follow up with them until they are ready. And then when they are ready, they're going to choose you because you're the authority because of the book. You're the person who's been connecting with them consistently. So they're going to know you. They're going to like you. They're going to trust you. And, you know, you kind of win the war of attrition because everybody else just wants to run an ad to their latest challenge. And if somebody doesn't buy, then they just go back to ignoring that person. Okay, so we've covered the book. We've talked about kind of the low barrier to entry way to get involved with doing some online coaching. So what else do you have?
I think that was it. That's it. The list building. I think I can do the list building through both local and long distance. So I think that'll help. I think that's it.
All right. So, well, man, that was simple and easy, and hopefully people got a takeaway of how valuable a book can be as a marketing tool. I mean, frankly, it's my favorite marketing tool, hands down. There's not even a close second because there's, you know what? I mean, I've used dozens and dozens of different lead magnets, but none of those really position you as an expert in that same way. There's no post that you're going to make on Instagram or no Facebook Live that you're going to do today that's going to have the sustainability or the longevity of a book. I mean, I still get people that call me up that become clients in some way, shape, or form that found me from a book I did in 2011. And there's just nothing that we're doing with just these kind of quick hitter social media tools or simple lead magnets that's going to have a 7-year lifespan and value or longer. So, you know, I think that a book not only gives you that sort of longevity, but it gives you all these different ways that you can open doors. It's perceived as a high value tool. It positions you as an expert. I mean, hence the phrase, he or she wrote the book on that. So it's just a really, really powerful tool. And I know in your case in particular, I think you were, like most of us are, like the thought of writing a book in the beginning is a very daunting thing. But how long did it take you from the idea to completion?
3 weeks, maybe 2 weeks. Yeah, it was under a month.
Yeah, and I know that there was a bit of a deer in headlights look when you and I originally talked about it, because that's the way it is for all of us. And you still got it done in that time frame. And now, you know, months and months later, you know, we're still talking about this as an asset, and we could have a conversation again 2 years from now and we'd still be talking about it as an asset. So that's pretty awesome. Linda, I appreciate you hopping on here and kind of pulling back the curtain and letting everybody else listen in to the call and some of the stuff we wanted to work on today.
Well, I appreciate the call and your help. This is going to be great. I know what I'll be working on today and through the rest of the weekend, and hopefully I'll have all that set up by next week.
Awesome. Well, hey, thanks a bunch. And thank you, everybody else, for listening in to another episode of The Ideal Business Show. This is Pat and Linda signing off.
Thanks for listening. We've got a special gift for our listeners. We're giving away 52 cut and paste newsletters that you could start using for your fitness business today. To get your special gift, head on over to patrigsby.com/gift.